Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Today, we're going to be talking with Saul from the YouTube channel Glitter Bear Mini Claws and his business Glitter Bear Vending. If his YouTube channel name didn't give it away, Saul operates many mini claws in the massive city of London. He is also an active participant in the vending community and is very helpful to vendors like myself with all the videos that he posts, and I am much appreciative of all those videos. So without further ado, let's welcome Saul from Glitter Bear Vending. How's it going today, Saul?
I'm good, Nathan. Thanks so much for having me on the show.
We're going to start it off with a pretty basic question here. Tell us about your vending journey and how you've gotten to the point you're at today.
So my vending journey began almost a year ago to the day. I've just posted a video recently on my YouTube channel about my first year in business. And I think I've done the same as probably yourself and a lot of others on the extreme Discord, which is I went down a YouTube rabbit hole and saw what could be done with a mini claw machine business and was like, I've been obsessed with mini claws, or well, with claw machines since I was a child. That feels like a perfect fit. So it was my 1 year anniversary on the 3rd of January. And it's been going well. It's a learning process. It's, you know,
yeah.
It's definitely you get faced with a new problem pretty much every week and you just figure out how to fix it, because it's not like something that most people, you know, there's not that much of a guidebook of how to run a business other than the Discord and fellow vendors YouTube channels, which have been a huge help. I wouldn't have got past, you know, the first month had it not been for going to the extreme Discord and then, or just typing the problem into YouTube and be like, someone else has had this same exact problem. So yeah, it's my first year and I am loving it, but I'm definitely still learning.
And how many machines have you acquired in the first year? Machines that are on location.
Oh yeah, so I've got 18 machines, but as you can probably tell behind me, I've got one of my locations just before Christmas. I was going to head home to Scotland and 2 days before I went and made a last collection before the new year. And they had a big sign on the window that says, oh, we're closed for refurbishment until the 22nd of January, and they just hadn't told me. And they're like, oh yeah, you need to, could you take the machine? Is that okay? So I was just scrambling to get the machine back. So 18 in total, 17 on location, and this one will, I'm currently using it to film YouTube shorts with. So it's handy, but my girlfriend doesn't really like it in the bedroom. apparently doesn't go with the aesthetics that she's after. So
I know I have that same problem. We have an arcade machine, like a hunter, hunter, in the entryway of our house. And then my dad has a pinball room. He has 4 pinball machines. And then I've stuck a massive Injustice from Raw Thrills in there.
Yeah.
It's like 48 inches wide. It's massive. That floor, it's on the main level and we have a basement. It's well past the weight rating. Floor there. Yeah, there's
just
4 pinball
crash
machines.
Crash one day and you're like, that's the machine.
Well, my dad's office is below there, so.
I saw your video. You did a tour recently of kind of like all the machines, and I was like, see, that's beautiful as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's, you're adding to the aesthetic of your home. So anyone who says otherwise is just, can't see the beauty in arcade machines as far as I'm concerned.
I know, and we joke about it a little bit. We're like, okay, we brought one home. We're going to put it in the kitchen.
You go to the fridge for some milk. You're like, do you know what? I fancy a game right now. Oh, yeah. Look, it's right there. What?
Exactly.
Why isn't that good?
Exactly. And we've lost. We have a 2-car garage, and my mom loves waking up in the morning and getting into a nice heated garage. when she's on her way to work. But there's been many times where she's had to go out in the winter and start her car because we have so many machines in the garage. Luckily, we've made it to the point where we pack them all against a wall. And as long as we're not working on one, she gets that stall. But
so what's the... asking you a question, what is the reason for them all being there? Are you... is the goal to open an arcade and you're collecting them all? Or do you just happen to have excess machines that you're like, no, I'm going to keep this one myself?
So there are many answers to that question. The main one is, yes, we want to start an arcade someday. A mall arcade is our, if you've ever seen Claw Kicker, and Quick Plays Arcade is a good example. We want to do it a lot differently. We want to do, I'm blanking on the name, Amusement Connects. They're a kiosk. You go up to the kiosk, you can swipe your credit card, and then you get a loaded game card.
Yeah.
Can tap all the machines, and they have like little readers on each machine.
They are so much cheaper. I keep going on Alibaba looking for like, you know, alternatives to Niax and Kiosoft. And I'm like, oh, that one's only $40. And it's because it's one of the arcade hard tap machines. And I'm like, oh, if you can have an arcade, you don't need 20 different Niax readers. You just need those little ones. Have one at the front, get people to charge their card, load it up with credit, and then you can just have one of the cheaper readers on your machines. That'd be fantastic. Think of all the fees you would save.
Yeah. The main idea with that, it is really, it's probably going to be around $20,000 to do just that system with the kiosk and all the readers. But the idea is it's so hard for people, and especially in a bad economy, to part with their cash.
Yeah.
But when you walk in, you either put in a $20 bill, it takes cash, or you swipe a credit card. People swipe their credit card so easily, and then they go to each machine. They have to use that because it's loaded on their card. So
yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing, isn't it? You kind of like it. And I have the same, you know, my bank card is on my phone. So I just pay with my phone multiple times a day. And it's not real money as far as I'm concerned. You know, I know it's mine, but it's not the same as having to part with cold, hard cash. People are more likely to spend more time playing your machines if they're just like, I'll just have another go. It's fine. Yeah. It's on the card already. I'll just have another go.
Exactly. And another that brings me to a thought here. I have a friend that he's in the business with me. Every time we'll go out and he sees a vending machine or something, he's like, oh, I'm thirsty. He'll whip out his phone, beep, taps the credit card reader. And it's like, that is what got me to buy a credit card reader for two of my machines right now have credit card readers on them, and a third is going on.
That is my next goal. I kind of, I'm done. I have like this plan, you know, in my head of how I want to build the business. And currently 18 machines is good for me. I need to learn the business properly to get the most out of those 18 machines. And Niax or Kiosoft or, you know, whichever one I go for, that is the next one, is testing out what is the jump in revenue? And does that change depending on where that machine is? Because I never have cash on me. Even though I'm a cash-based business, I never have cash on me. So it's interesting to see actually, because I know some people swear by them, absolutely swear by them. Mm-hmm. And then other people are like, it's increased my income by about 10%, if that. So London is definitely a very different beast when it comes to the claw machine business. So I'm intrigued as to how it's going to go, but it's a big investment. It is a big investment.
Yeah. It's massive investment. I would go through candymachines.com if you're going to buy one, or if you're going to buy a Niax.
I'm going to say something blasphemous now. I've never bought from candymachines.com, and I think it's because I'm based in the UK. They seem to do an amazing job for, and are great with customer service, great with, you know, delivery and fair prices for what ultimately is you're buying something from within America, and they've done the hard grunt work for you. But it's just as easy and probably cheaper for me to buy, when it comes to Niax, to buy locally. And the same with machines. Obviously there'll be a big saving if you live in America, but the delivery cost will be so astronomical that I just buy from Alibaba. That's it.
Yeah. Back to your question there. So we're trying to work out a deal with a mall. We have gone to every single mall in Wisconsin, and there's always a reason. There's two right now. One, there's a city ordinance. I can't really disclose anything because we have competition here in Wisconsin. There's already a guy in four malls.
Okay.
And if he sees this, he's like, oh, okay. But
someone,
I'm actually not going to say anything more about that location. Yeah. And I can't really say anything more, but there's two of them. We're working out a deal.
I'm sorry I asked you a question in the first place.
No, you're good. I'm trying to just not disclose anything. He's on YouTube too. So,
frantically just starts Googling, looking in YouTube, like, who's he talking about? It's interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure you could find him. He's in four malls. We want to get into a mall. For one, it's non-staffed. And for two, the amount of machines we need.
Yeah.
I mean, we could start out with 20. And that's around $40,000 machines. Mm-hmm. Our second plan is to then go do what you call a destination location. You know, like 100 machines. We're there staffing it. Maybe we even do like a golf simulator. We have a room with VR. You know, stuff like an entertainment. Yeah. Play. That's our second idea. But it's probably going to be $120,000 to even see.
Yeah, it's
close to starting that.
It's what's the name of the channel? Couple who do the kind of like the Halloween.
Yep. Okay. I know exactly Eli who you're Cody. Talking about.
Eli and Cody? No.
ENT.
It's Eli and Cody. I think I'm getting confused. But that's incredibly impressive and a huge amount of work to do something that is basically a pop up. You know, it's a temporary. Yeah. Space, and obviously the returns are great and it's an amazing way to build a business, but for being so young to kind of have their foot in the door and something like that and to put in the grunt work is nothing short of impressive. The idea of unmanned arcade, because I've thought about this as well, in London terrifies me. I don't think if you leave machines with money in them in London for 2 seconds, they'll be gone. That's, you know.
Yeah.
And I also don't want to, personally, I don't want to man an arcade all day. I'd be bored out of my mind. Or just playing the machines all day, who knows?
Our idea is that
I think it is different in the US. Like having unmanned arcades seems like standard practice.
Well, with them being in a mall, the mall has mall security, you know, it's open. And if we were to get one, the spaces that we're looking at, it can't really be a deep space because if kids can go back in there and not be seen, it'd be like a space where it might be wide, but it won't go back very far. You'd be able to, if you're
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed sponsored jobs. With Indeed-sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Looking in from the outside, you can see everything.
Because I saw the quick. Yeah. Was it Quick Play who were having their coin pushes? Like someone was repeatedly breaking into them.
I think
it was Quick. Yeah, and you're just like, oh, you can break into those things. They're not as indestructible as you think. But
they had one.
Hmm.
They had one. It was so they. You know what I'm talking about. They have four, and the one that's not facing. Anywhere you can see from the door.
And that's all
the one.
It takes is just enough privacy to be like, I'm just going to bend this back and then come back and do it again, which is
exactly.
Some people, eh? You can't trust everybody.
Exactly. Well, and then once again, back to that, they're just a good investment. Everything we've bought so far, we bought two new machines for the route and because we got a great deal on them, $500 off on their Black Friday sale from Candy Machines. That was the Under the Sea and then the Mini Claw. But other than that, I drove to Oklahoma, 13-hour drive, to buy a Fun Zone claw machine. They retail for $6,000. I bought it for $1,500. We only find deals with that. If I were to go and sell that, we could sell for $3,000 or
$4,000. Yeah, you've worst case scenario, you've got yourself covered with, yeah.
And that's our entire collection, that massive 48 Injustice. We could double, maybe 1.5 times the money we bought that thing for. The entire collection could double our money. And that's at the end of the day, we don't feel like we're sitting here. We don't have anything lined up for an arcade quite yet, but we're not shaking in our boots. You know, we're not sitting here like, oh my God, we're never going to make our money. Tomorrow we could list them all and have our money back.
To be fair, I had the same thing, because you'd be probably not surprised to know that if you tell someone, I had it anyway, which is like when you tell someone what you do and you're like, oh, I run a mini claw machine business, and they're kind of just like, what? He's like, just. And so when I told my girlfriend, I was like, just so you know, in about 3 months' time, there's going to be 6 mini claw machines turning up at our door. It's fine. Don't worry about it. She kind of just looked at me and was like, okay. And the way I kind of like appeased her that I've not gone completely crazy was, like, worst case scenario, if it all goes horribly wrong, which I don't think it will do, I can sell these used more than I paid brand new for them, because they don't exist in the UK. They are few and far between for the people who have imported them. So it's a, you know, Facebook marketplace. They'd go in a second. So fortunately, I've not had to sell them, and I've bought 12 more after that. But
yeah,
at least I had a backup. I had a way to get out should it go horribly wrong.
So specifically, where do you get your machines? Like what company do you go through, and your product?
So the machines, I've changed back and forth, to be fair. I get them, all my machines, from Alibaba. I've got links in my, I couldn't tell you the exact name of the company because Chinese company names, and a lot of them all sound very similar, or like Yinwen Fun Zone, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I have links in my videos, you know, like all my long form videos, I put links to where I get my machines from. But I started off testing with one company, and they were amazing. And their aftercare, their customer support, their tech team were just outstanding. You know, unfortunately, one of the motors blew in the first month, started smoking. And, you know, when you don't know what's going on, you're like, oh God, what? This is crazy. I've only just got this machine. It's a simple fix once you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they were on standby in China 24/7, and like getting me to send a photo and then telling me what to do. And it was back and forth. And it must have been like midnight for them, and, you know, but daytime for me. And then I founded a second company. Again, I've linked that to in my YouTube videos. And it was just a little bit cheaper. I could get a bill acceptor on top of it for the same price as the one without a bill acceptor. But if you've watched my can you fix this, you know, we were just talking about it before, long form video on my channel, there was a problem with the operating system that if you don't live in the UK would not cause you any problems whatsoever. But just the conversion of trying to program the coins to take UK money in the denominations and plays I wanted meant that I lost a whole bunch of money because they were sitting idle for 4 weeks when they should have been on location. So who knows, next time I may go back to the old ones. But apart from that, both companies have served me really, really well. And for product, I'm now Team 1688, you know.
Yeah, I saw that video.
Yeah, Megan, who's another UK vendor, she did the grunt work for everyone. She was new to the business and was like, no, I'm going to try and get the best possible value and kind of venture into the unknown. And so she found Tammy on 1688. She did a lot of hard work and then was like, hey, Saul, why don't you give it a go, you know? And that's been adopted by the Extreme Discord as well. That's kind of, but mainly all thanks to Megan kind of like dipping a toe in the water to begin with. And now I absolutely love it. I have, for anyone who watches my videos, I have bored people with saying that I have massive limitations in the UK of what I can put in my machines before the Gambling Commission decide that it's gambling and I have to pay thousands per machine. So I, to you, this may be news, but to anyone who watches my live videos, I'm like, I can only put in a prize that is worth equal to or less than the cost of a single play. So it's massively restricted.
Wow,
so if it's a dollar a play, I can't put in anything that's worth more than a dollar. I charge mine at 50 pence a play. So what, 65 cents. So my price can't be over 65 cents.
That's right where you're at though, right?
Yeah. So and that's basically what 1688 has allowed me to do is source much better prizes. So it's kind of just opened up a new, you know, a whole new kind of way of stocking my machines with Rick and Morty kind of style keyrings, with Spirited Away plush, with, whereas before I would be on AliExpress and Alibaba really trying to buy in as much bulk as I can to get that price down to where I wanted. But what you're left with is people get bored with the same prizes in the machines, and that constant turnover is why people play, especially where I am. You know, it's the same customers going into the same shops in London. So yeah, 1688, I absolutely love, and I should be getting a new shipment from them literally any day now. Can't wait.
So yeah, we'll start with the plushies, since we're already on that topic. How much does the average plushie cost or trinket and landed at your door per plushie, including shipping and everything?
Roughly, like I've got it at peak. So the average, you know, I'll get some cheaper prizes. Not cheap in the sense of what they are, but kind of they just happen to cost less. But I would, it averages out about 50 to 65 cents for per item. And it is disturbingly shocking how much you can get for that low amount of money, especially as you are ultimately, for anyone who doesn't know, 1688 only, it's Alibaba's own company, it's Alibaba but in China, but they only ship to China. So you have to find a forwarding shipping agent. So for that price, you are buying a product that is being shipped to the Chinese forwarding agent. They're adding their fee on top of it, and then their shipment charges, and then it's being sent to you. And even with all those costs, it's still so much cheaper than Alibaba. It's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And how much do you have to order? How much money do you have to spend to get that value?
So I've... not that much. What is amazing, a lot of them with Alibaba, it's like a minimum 500 quantity, or you know, a minimum 1,000, and then the prices come down. With a lot of the places, you check obviously how good the reputation of that company is. You check how many returning customers they have, so you can see that, hey, someone's bought from them, liked it so much, 25% of those people have come back again to buy even more. But a lot of them, they have like 10 minimum or 50 minimum, 100 minimum. And that's my new goal really now is, and it's how I started, because I saw a dip in sales and I was kind of like, what's going on? It's not just seasonal. There's something happening here. And it's because I had ordered previously lots of little things and it was constantly changing. So when someone came back, you know, Joe Bloggs came back to the bubble tea shop I'm in, or the mini mart or whatever, there was something new for them to play. And I had stopped that because I got so excited about 1688. I ordered in bulk of like, oh, I've got SpongeBob SquarePants keychains and, you know, plush. And I was like, oh, that's why. Because I've had the same prizes for the past 3 months now. And that has been a killer. So now the idea that I can just order, you know, 100 of one thing, 200 of another, and I've got 18 machines, so they go like that. And then 2 weeks later, another shipment comes in, and then 2 weeks later. So it's what I'm excited about my second year is just having constantly evolving stock so that customers don't know next time what's going to be there, and they'll want to play. Well, that's the idea anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So you're saying, if I order 10 plushies, I still get that same 65 cent value, you think, or would it have to be?
And, you know, it goes down a little bit like it does with Alibaba or AliExpress or anywhere else. You know, you order over 500 and suddenly that thing that cost you 32 cents per item suddenly is 28 cents per item.
Okay, it does go down a little bit.
Yeah, and you know, you can order in the tens of thousands or the, and get it even cheaper if you've got that amount of space. And yeah, so there's savings to be made, but ultimately the savings are already there. I've not encountered any of the products, and there are some, I'm sure, where you have to order a minimum that's more than you'd like, but most of the stock that I have coming, I've got 40 of each or 70 or 100 of each, you know, which is massively helpful because I have no storage space in my apartment in London, you know. My girlfriend is very accommodating, but even she's like, when are you when are you going to move these things out? And fortunately, there's storage at the bottom of the mini claws, so that's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do have some good storage down there. The super mini that I bought has just, the bottom just has a massive coin tray, and then the...
Yeah, I've got one Magic Star, which is, you know, just another version of a Mega Mini.
Oh, yep.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
It's a huge amount in the game area, but there's no storage in it. Whereas, I don't know if you can see this on the wide shot at the bottom. There's the bottom third of the machine is just one, you know. And I don't mind when notes get, you know, when bills get people play with bills. I open up the drawer and just on top of the extra plush is just some money. It doesn't bother me. It's still money at the end of the day.
I've seen people take them and they'll put like concrete at the bottom of those minis because there's so much room down there. They got to make them heavier.
No, I mean, it, obviously, London is not the... There's a lot of people living in London of all types. So not that I'm not trusting, but I try and secure my machines so that no one, even with a bit of concrete, they can't just pick it up and wheel it away. I'll try and attach it to someone if I can, to something if I can.
Yeah, I'm the mini claw that I bought. My friend and I both bought a mini claw. We bolted them together at the same place, and that's how we're securing that one. Going forward, we're going to remove one and put it to a separate location.
Okay.
The one that's going to stay there, we want to try to bolt to the coin pusher we have in there, or what I saw Extreme Vending does. He Velcros them to the wall. It's not like. It's just to keep them from falling over. Obviously, if someone's going to steal it, they'll still steal it with the Velcro.
Yeah,
there,
so but... I stole, because obviously Extreme was hugely influential when I started watching his videos, and I was like, how do I secure this? Mm-hmm. And I saw his Velcro stuff. So I have, here's someone. What do you think? Yeah, right there. Excellent. I've got this massive industrial.
Oh, for the entire...
So yeah, I just cut it at length and do it all the way down. But the problem with that is it has to be a specific location. You know, I'm attaching it to a brick wall because I'm not going to ruin someone's paintwork with it. If not with that, I've yet to have to drill in, you know, into the walls. Because again, you're turning up at someone's location, someone's business who doesn't know you. Mm-hmm. And you're going, hey. Would you like a machine? Oh, by the way, I've also got a drill into your wall. What was that? No, nothing. Just a few, you know. So I got some security cables, and there are vents on the side of the mini claws, some of them. And I kind of just poke them through, wrap them around any pipe or anything I can have nearby, if it's possible, and then just padlock it so that no one can, you know, no one can move it. They might be able to wheel it two feet, but they're not going to be able to get further than that.
Yeah. A little bit back to the machines. How much does one cost landed at your door after fees and everything?
It's amazing how often I had this conversation in Discord, because British people are very, very normally polite about how much things cost or how much you earn. I get asked this question 4 or 5 times a week. Like, how much do you earn? Like, how much is how much does this cost? Because you can see people's minds whirling, like whirring, going, can I steal this guy's business idea? and what I tell them is you need to buy in bulk. It's the same because if you buy one by itself, the shipping's is like twice as much as the actual machine. But the machine itself is probably about, I don't know, but $200, including the bill acceptor and the, you know, not even, I don't think. And so for me, I got 6 machines plus shipping door to door with all customs and stuff paid. And it came to, I think initially it was $3,300. And then I changed companies, and with the bill, et cetera, as well, it came down to something like $3,100. That's not including like Alibaba
wow.
tax and stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's just crazy. I should not have, like I said, I got that deal. I think on the mini claw I paid $850 for it. And then I didn't order it with the bill acceptor, but it came with it.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But you got that in 2 weeks, right?
I actually live 2 hours from the candy machines warehouse, so I just went down there and drove to it.
I hope they sponsor you sometime soon, because you're literally a local brand ambassador for them then, if that's
exactly
true. Yeah. Guys, come on. Nathan is a hardworking individual. You'd be lucky to have him sponsor his channel. But some people don't like them anymore because they are small and they hold less. I'm a one-man band. Like Megastar, what's it called? I always forget the name. Mega Mini kind of thing is so heavy, has no wheels, and so is it really difficult for me to move in comparison to these things, which just roll along the ground. The downside is they weigh nothing. So, you know. But I love the OG Minis. They're what I've started with, and I will expand to Mega Minis more, I think, for larger locations. But for the most part, these things are just zippy, and they suit my business quite well, because it is just me.
Even for your smaller locations, have you thought about doing the prize lockers? I know Extreme made a video where it tripled his income with a prize locker. So
the Magic Star. I finally remembered Magic Star. It says it on the top in neon. the Magic Star, I basically said to them, don't send me the prize box, which in hindsight I should have done, because if I ever sell it, that would be a great thing. It comes back to the gambling commission restrictions. So if you win that, that's me, you know, I'm breaking the law, because it's worth more than a single play.
That is really a huge drawback.
It is, but you can work around it. You know, like, one of my favorite parts of the business is toy hunting. It really is. Like, I'm 8 years old again, looking through all the, you know, the Macy's catalogs or whatever it is. You know, in the UK, it's the Argos catalog, just circling all the things I want. But now I'll sit and, you know, have dinner and then sit on the couch with my girlfriend watching TV. And I'll just be like secretly looking at all the different toys that I want, but for the machines. But what do I want, really? So it's a restriction, but there's such joy to be found in finding something that's within your budget and is also awesome. You know, like, you're just like, oh, I would want to win that. If I walk past the machine, I want that Kirby plush keyring thing. You know, like it's a bit of a headache to begin with, but once you get around it, I think it's something like £4,000 to £6,000. So, you know, $5,000 to $8,000 per machine per year. If I break that rule and I have 18 machines, I would be bankrupt.
Yeah. Well, in Wisconsin here, I mentioned this in my Coin Pusher video, but there's,
oh yeah, yeah.
It's not laws, but it's like, we'll let you slide.
Yeah.
So it's contraband. So this is only for coin claw machines are completely legal. We have one coin pusher, and that is under gambling devices or amusement devices. And the law contraband thing states that it's a fine of, it's either, I think it was 500, maybe it was two something. It was,
I think I remember watching that video. I think you said something like 200, 250, something like that.
Yeah. It was like $200 per machine. Plus the possibility of it being taken. But usually I spoke with a guy on the phone, and he told me, if we come in and we think anything of it, we will audit you. And if you're paying your taxes, we turn a blind eye, as long as it has class B liquor license.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's something similar with, cause I've looked into, and Megan and I have discussed this, kind of like coin pushes and other machines, like the gambling restrictions are different for every machine, and we have them as well. There's only certain places you can place them in the UK, and unlike a claw machine, you know, most of those places are places with liquor licenses, But unlike a claw machine, what I see is, you know, when people are asking, like I said, like, oh, how much do you earn? How much are these machines? You can see their mind whirring. And every time it gets to the same point, which is toys. And then they suddenly realize, oh, they've got to buy 50 to 60 different types of toys and in bulk and then keep buying them. And that's when it becomes less attractive. Mm-hmm. Whereas with coin pushes, you only tend to get them in arcades in the UK.
Oh, okay.
But you can put them in pubs and clubs and anywhere, you know, like betting shops. But the actual location has to apply for the license themselves. It doesn't cost anything.
Yeah, yeah.
They're allowed up to two machines. And so I've thought about those things, about getting a coin pusher, but I'm like, that any location worth their salt would just get one themselves because I'm not providing anything other than a free machine. Like, I'm not providing anything they can't do for a few hundred dollars. You know, you can go on Facebook Marketplace and get one for $200-$300 here, which is annoying because they seem to earn quite a lot. I'd love to just stick it in a laundromat.
Well, yeah, we just, this is a little pre-collection insight, but we just filmed a video 2 days ago where we went and collected from that coin pusher. In its first week and a half, it did $106. USD for UK viewers watching.
Yep.
But it was just crazy to us because this Mexican restaurant, it's like, this is an upgrade from some of our locations, but it's not the greatest. I mean, we have two mini claws there and they make $30 each a month. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's
crazy, isn't it? Locations where you just like, sometimes there's no rhyme nor reason as to why one does better than the other. You're just like, why? I swore this was going to be a good place.
Well, I always thought in my head, I was like, coin pushers are the greatest thing in the entire universe. And no matter what location they're in, they're going to do amazing. And then when we put it in this place, we have a camera there and it was across. We didn't really see anyone playing it. We're like, oh, maybe this is the first time maybe this is the time where we're going to be humbled with these coin pushers and like they need to be in a great place. We went there and it made a crap load of money. And the place is like, during winter, they were shut down for 3 days for winter, for New Year's. Yeah. And then, like, it was just amazing. We didn't see anyone in there hardly, and this thing made $106 in
that's
its
awesome,
first
man.
Week.
Yeah,
and
that's
half.
Nice to know, when, especially if you can see it and you're just like, oh, no one's playing it. To turn up and be surprised, that's always the most fun when you're like, oh, I don't think it's really been. And then you open up the drawer and you're like, oh, I was wrong. There's some money for me. Oh, good work.
Well, it reminds me, I was cleaning my desk one day and I went under my mouse pad and I found like $30 and I was like, when did I put that there? Because I mean, that's a habit.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Of mine, I was
instantly just
cash.
Looking for and my whole.
No, I just did too.
my whole place is pound coins, like just they're everywhere. I'm so used to having so many, I've kind of stopped looking. It's weird. I've stopped looking at it as money because it's just that they're everywhere. And I never, as I said, I never have cash, actual physical cash. So it's just something I'm used to now. Weirdly. Pound coin seemed to fill up my apartment.
And then with that the gambling thing still just baffles me because with the claw machines, I mean, the ANA Global, I have a couple. Well, I have one right now that's on location. I used to have two. We pulled one out of a place that wasn't doing so great, but one full size claw machine that we put, you know, big plushies in. And ANA Global, after shipping and everything, it comes to like $1.50 per plushie, and the machine is $1 per play. So I could not be doing that if I were in the UK. And then on top of that, we wrap them with $5 bills. Like yeah. some of them will wrap them up.
And that's the thing
bills.
That kind of, it's thinking outside of the box with that, because ultimately when you look at YouTube videos, when you look at other people's business models, it just doesn't work. Because of course, like an awesome licensed plushie with $20 right around it, people are going to play no matter what you've set that, you know, set the claw strength at. Whereas mm-hmm. kind of my business model is, all right, how do I keep people coming back and playing, which is like to set it where it's fair, where it's skill-based, but you need to learn how the prizes are won. So that way people are paying for the actual game more. Well, previously anyway, people were paying for playing the game rather than necessarily the prize that they're winning. Whereas now it's kind of, that's now meeting where people are playing for the game, but also they're going to get a good prize at the same time, something that they'll stick on their backpack, something that, you know, they'll add to their collection of plushies. And so because I've not known any other way, I'm just used to that restriction now. You're just kind of like, and another restriction we have is $1 is really good for an amount of play that you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I couldn't charge £1 for a play at the moment, I don't think. The UK economy, £1 per play, which is like, what, $1.30, $1.25, is just too much. 50p seems quite cheap. And some people have said, oh, why don't you put it up to £1? It's just the idea of charging someone £1 and they don't win seems crazy to me. Whereas when I watch American videos, American vendors, $1 a play seems just normal. You know, it's a fair amount. I'm just stuck in that in-between part where 50p is a little too low, but £1 is I don't think we would play if I played at £1. I'll test it. But I don't think it's just on the cutoff of going, I never want someone to feel ripped off playing one of my machines. I want them to enjoy it, and I want them to win prizes. So,
Well, and that's a weird situation, because if you're charging 50 pence, is that what it's called? Sorry.
If you're 50p, if you want it to sound rude.
We charge 50 cents per mini claw machine play.
Oh, do you? Oh, that's great.
It's like, we don't really like going that low. I mean,
yeah, you've got the opposite. Like, if you try 50 cents, you're like, that seems a little too low.
Like, it's a little low for us. But then $1, our big stuff that we do, that's $1 per play, it's perfect. And yeah. I could never imagine, like, if I put it to $1.30, well, I mean, that's a weird number to charge someone, but
yeah,
if it was normal, they wouldn't play it.
It's just that, it's that cutoff of like, you know, it's like when you go into a store and 99 cents versus $1, you're like, well, buy something for 99 cents or, you know, $99. But $100 seems just a bit too much.
And sorry to cut you off, but when we first got our credit card readers on, when we put it on that big claw machine, we had it a surcharge of $1.10. It was $1.10 per play. Yeah. But then we did bonuses and stuff too. But we were like, we're only making $15 a month from this thing. The credit card reader only did 15 while the cash did it 150. We took that surcharge off. Now it's doing $40-$50 a month. It's crazy. It's 10 cents.
And honestly, I would say getting into people's mindset is definitely one of the biggest learning curves of running this business. It's one of like, why do people play? Where do people play? And why is it in that location they play more than an almost identical location a mile down the road, you know? And it's the same with what do people think of as good value? You know, where's the cutoff point of where they're like, no, of course I put 50p, you know, they could put the same amount of money in, you know, they could put in $5 in total, £5, whatever, worth of 50p's and come away with a prize or two prizes or whatever, and feel like they've had a great time and that it's been value for money. And they could do it with £5, you know, five single dollar bills, and for some reason it could feel less fun, less good value, because the mindset is just, there's an invisible cutoff point in people's head of what is value or what is not. And if you ever find the sweet spot, you know, let me know.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. We're getting into a mall here soon. Once again, I'm not going to mention because I don't want any competition, but it's a good mall. It's a really good mall, and nice. We're really surprised that we're getting into it. Right now, there's only one machine in there. It's a Keymaster. They charge $5 per play because there's really good stuff in there. It's like, you know, Jordan shoes and $100 cash. And
oh, yeah, yeah.
But we're going to have one back-to-back, one claw machine back-to-back with his Keymaster. at $1 per play. So we might be that under cutoff for people that are, they're like, I don't want to spend $5, but then they'll walk over and they'll put five singles into our claw machine.
Yeah. And again, it's just that it's just the, that's quite interesting about that $5 Keymaster, because Keymasters are a strange thing. And I don't know, maybe it's just being in the business or having been played at arcades for years myself. I've always known that Keymasters are very much, that will pay out when it's earned enough money.
Yeah.
And I have that problem with claw machines, which is most claw machines in the UK are at the seaside. You go and visit the seaside, you go to the beach for a day, and there's a whole bunch of arcades there. And they're rigged. They're massively rigged. They're waiting for that payout as well. And so trying to find a skill-based one is hard. It tends to be the older ones. And that's a kind of misconception that I'm trying to break with my machines, which is actually just learn how to play it. And it's not rigged in a way that means you can't win. It just, you have to be able to learn how that toy is weighted and how that, you know, where you need to grab that toy. But with a Keymaster, if you know, I wouldn't mind putting a dollar in a Keymaster and just hope that it's time for it to pay out.
Mm-hmm.
But putting $5 in knowing that, you know, it's just, it's still waiting for the payout. Oh, I'd be very intrigued to know how well that does. If people are happy.
I know how it does.
Anyway. Oh, do you?
That machine. Well, it's confidential information, but you know.
Oh, yeah, don't share anything. They'll get yourself in trouble.
Well, I don't think it'd get me into. Well, I didn't even mention the mall, so who cares?
Yeah.
It makes over $1,000 a month.
Well, I'm going to shut up. Roughly, that is surprising. Roughly. That is surprising.
Yeah,
I think maybe most people don't know that how a Keymaster works. Then that they think that if they've got the right amount of skill, that they can still win, regardless. Maybe that's it. Wow, $1,000 a month. Yeah. I need to get into Keymasters.
Well, and that I need to start shutting up about this, but one more thing. he said
you're
that
turn up and there'll be a whole different arcade day. We're like, I said on the video.
He's gonna be like, what is this video? He doesn't watch my video. My videos aren't good enough views yet. So for the five people watching, we might take over that machine. That guy's out of state, and there's been months where the machine's down or the machine's jammed with money. And so we might eventually he might kick that guy out, and we might come in there with our Keymaster.
Yeah, I mean, that's it ultimately. And it's how I try to, I did a video recently, which was, you know, to mark my 1 year anniversary, which was like, hey, what have I learned in the past year? Originally it was going to be like, hey, here's how much my business has made. And here's the, and again, we chatted before, and kind of just flashing the cash doesn't really sit well with me as much. I'd rather tell some kind of like truths that maybe people don't know, you know, which is like, hey, it's a learning curve and there's good times and there's bad times. I've completely lost my point.
Well, I'll continue your point a little bit. With me, I think showing the cash, or for my channel at least, I think showing the cash is pretty necessary to people to know, like you said, to know the ups and downs. I went and collected $10 for my mini claw.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we went over and checked the coin pusher, and it made $106. And that video will be up here in a couple weeks.
But yeah, then, like, and I think it really shows. That is the difference, which is, you know, I show cash in my videos all the time, which is, hey, here's how much a machine's, not here specifically how much a machine made. You know, it took 200. But I'll open up the coin draw because I know people want to see that stuff. I, as a viewer, want to see that stuff myself. But it being primarily money-based to me isn't as helpful as, hey, here's the things I've learned, you know, in the past year. Here's the peaks and the troughs of it all. It's so annoying. I wish I could get back to my point. There's a reason I talked about my, other than shameless self-promotion, there's a reason I talked about that video.
No shameless self. No, I'm kidding. If you guys want to see his channel, everything will be linked below. And if you're on Spotify or one of the streaming platforms, he is Glitter Bear Mini Claws on YouTube.
Folks, you saw it there. He forgot who I was. No, he forgot my name. So, he had to look at his screen.
No. So he has his Discord name is Glitter Bear Vending. And then I completely forgot that his channel is different. I was about to say Glitter Bear Vending, and I did not.
They're all named differently because I called my YouTube channel Glitter Bear Mini Claws, and people just like, I don't know what that is. So just Mini Claws London just tells you exactly what my YouTube channel is.
Well, and we're going to have to change our name here soon. We're NJCJ Routing, And half the people we go to don't know what route. Me, it's like you own a route, you route machines into places. No one knows what that means. I asked a guy that was buying a coin or a dollar changer for me. I was like, are you putting it on route with your machines or you got something else? He's like, what's route? What's on route? It's not a term that, like...
It's why I've kind of like started to phase out vending as well, because when I started, everyone I watched was American. Well, still is, to be fair. and everyone seemed to be called vending. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I don't know enough about the business. Because vending in the UK is just vending machines. You would never class as a claw machine as something as a vending machine.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Or part of the vending business. And so I've kind of just phased that out because enough people have said, oh, so you do vending machines as well then? Because it's in, and I'm like, oh no, I just the mini claws. so it's why I've just kind of slowly, when I got the new logo designed and stuff, for anyone who hasn't watched my live videos, we made it on AI together, the viewers and myself. I just changed it to Glitter Bear Mini Claws because it just... It sums up what I do in a bit of a nutshell.
Yeah, and if you have to explain that to people. On that point, so how do you... So you go into these locations, or how do you get these locations is a good way to put it. Do you have a way for them to contact you, or are you cold calling, or are you walking
in? It's the worst part of the job. It's in person. You just have to do... You know, you see people asking all the time, oh, can I call or just email? And you're just like... Anyone who's done it for long enough would like go in person. Unless you can't, you know, but if it's small mom and pop shops, go in person.
Exactly, yeah.
Because ultimately you're selling yourself. That's it. Everyone else is trying to run their own business. You've just walked in off the street and they're busy, you know, with the lunch order, the lunch rush or whatever they do. Why are they going to take time out of your day or of their day to listen to you? And if they're busy, it just seems like a hassle. You're like, you want to do what? No, it's fine. And to be fair, when you talk to people in person, that's most of the reaction is, I'm busy right now. What? No. Without even listening to what you're saying, it's just a hassle. So I'm selling me, which is like, hey, I'm a local business. I'm a new business. I live literally just down the road from you, you know, because all my machines are within East London where I live, which is still millions of people. But it's like... Do you want to support a local business? And it will bring in some income for you. Or if you prefer, we can give that profit that you would normally take and we can give it to a charity of your choice. And I'll stick it, you know. And it's like, give it a month, see how it is. But if I'm not personable and if I can't sell who I am and that I'm trying hard, then I can't do that over email or over phone because people are busy and they don't care. Rightfully so. They're living their own lives. What tends to happen though is I'm trying to get into malls.
Okay.
I'm trying to get into supermarkets, you know, big kind of shopping supermarkets. And then you hit corporate because there's no one in, the manager can't decide for you of that store. And then as soon as you get up to corporate, that is a long, slow process. And it's only going to happen through phone calls, through emails, through persistence. And you're selling yourself again. You've got to be personable and sell who you are as a company. But that's the only time I would ever say, hey, don't always go in person unless you can't. But face-to-face is always going to work out much, much better.
And what does your average pitch look like when you're asking these managers or owners?
I tried to secretly film myself. I've got it in an earlier video of mine. I keep just like shamelessly promoting earlier videos.
No, no, go ahead.
Guys, go and watch Mini Claw London over in YouTube. And I got my GoPro and like secretly filmed myself, but it was only snippets of it because...
Okay.
But it's basically kind of like, hey, who's the best person to speak to? Is the manager or owner in? Because... And that's how I used to start. And then you get a look of like, well, why? What's going on? Because a lot of people think you're there as a debt collector, or as soon as you're, you know, something suspicious is happening as soon as you're asking for the owner. And so it kind of blended into, hey, who's the best person to speak to about this? And I've got my flyer with me. And then they see something bright and interesting. They're like, what's this? And that's when you've got your foot in the door a little bit, which is like, oh, well, I'm a one-man band. I run a mini claw business down the road from you. Like, I live 2 miles away. And basically, it's as simple as this. It's the 30 centimeters wide. It's 4 foot tall. It'll fit over there. And 25% of the profits go to you or a charity of your choice. And most people will not be interested, and that's fine. And then every once in a while, you'll get someone who's very interested, and once more, they'll ask you more questions, and you know you've got, you know, a much better chance. But really, it's just you will repeat that same opening gambit 1,000 times, and the hit rate is tiny. But you just have to be as enthusiastic about it every single time, because otherwise, you'll never go into a shop. You'll convince yourself that they're going to say no anyway. And then it's amazing. Ultimately, the people who tend to say yes, it's their personality who is like, oh my God, that sounds awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
When can you bring it? And you're like, oh, it's not the location. It's the people you're talking to who, if they get it, they get it. And a lot of the time, though, it's not your favorite, you know, the location you desperately want is not the people who find it awesome.
Yeah, and that's where I completely agree with you when it comes to these malls and supermarkets. I personally haven't contacted any supermarkets. I might have to. But with the malls, I know it's, you go in there, and we've been contacting malls for an actual space, a leasable space, and we've been contacting them about machines in the middle, kiosk is...
Yeah.
But with those, it's like, okay, how much would you charge me? $200 a month. And then 30% after 667 is another contingency, but it's like, it's just flat out. It's like you're meant to be asking them, and it's not if you can get in, it's are you wanting to go in? Is it good enough for you? And that's what I want to kind of pursue in the future here is I started my business about a year ago as well. Probably a few months after you started yours. And I started out by contacting these places. I had really good luck at the beginning. I contacted local oil change shop. First three calls of getting into vending, I landed an oil change shop soda machine, and it does about 100 a month. In the winter, it does about 40, and then in the summer, it does about 250. So a little different. But then I made another 50 calls for a claw machine, landed a bowling alley. Since then, I haven't landed any places with phone calls. It's I've had Facebook Marketplace posts where it's like, I'll put machines in your place, and I've had two locations where those have hit. And those are my worst locations. They're a small restaurant. I found this as well.
When anyone's request, I've never done the Facebook, you know, marketplace one. What I have done is I've been, you know, I was in a barber shop and they were lovely guys, but unfortunately I kind of got the idea from one of the American vendors. And it just seems to be different here because it didn't really do very well at all. Mm-hmm. But within the first few weeks of being there, they're like, oh, the guy down the road wants one of these. And I kind of went to the place, and it was like a chicken restaurant type thing. And I was like, I don't think it's going to do well here. But someone's voluntarily come in and asked for a machine. And it tends to be, and it's happened twice now in both places, I'm like, yeah, if they're asking for a machine, it's because
they need that money. From
places that are going to do well. They're trying to expand their business in a way to bring in more revenue because it's not maybe not particularly doing as well as they want. And that's not going to be the best place to put your machine. I had the same thing though with the first two places I went into to pitch when I was like nervous and like, hi there, I've got a business idea. Do you want to hear it? I booked the first two places that I went into and I was like, I am
so good at this.
Literally no the best. Ego like up here, and then you're going into the next one.
And literally the next 50, after that, no one wanted it. But for that first day, I was just like, no one has been a better salesman in the history of the world. I've obviously got this nailed. And it was just blind luck. It was just blind luck. And, you know, that's where I'm at business-wise, which is like, as I said earlier on, I spent the first year just expand and figure out as much about the business as you can. And now in year two, make sure those 18 machines are in as close to as possible, the earning the same amount as the top one, you know, my top earner, because and that's the stuff that's going to take a long time. Getting into a supermarket, malls, you're right, malls are different because they're used to that stuff. They're like, all right, well, this is how much it costs if they want it there. A lot of malls in London are like, no, we don't do that. You know, or we had them and we got rid of them because they were just causing, you know, kids to hang around. But they at least know what you're up to because you're not going to be the first vending business to come in and they'll have a set price. And is that too much for you? All right, well, bye. But at least you're talking to someone who you're not having to convince or explain exactly what you're doing. Whereas every location in London anyway has never seen a mini claw machine before and doesn't know what the hell you're going on about. So you have to start from scratch and explain exactly what you are, what you do, and why it could be of benefit to them. Mm-hmm. It's exhausting, but when you get a yes, you're just like, oh, it's worth it. Because it's your own business, and you know, you're making strides. All sounds hallmark, but like, go get them, guys. Go get them.
Well, and it's like, I'm in one location. At one point, I had 5 machines in that location. It's a restaurant, small restaurant. Business owner is really, really nice. And that's kind of why I haven't taken my machines completely out of there.
Yeah.
I have. So I pulled that full-size claw machine out of there. And then I pulled, it was a hoop. It was like a stacker that was converted into a basketball game. It didn't make any money, even at that place. And I still have 2 machines there and a changer. And then I'm going to be putting in a coin pusher that I'm picking up in the next couple of weeks. So I'll have 3 machines and a dollar changer. And overall, with the coin pusher, it'll probably make $150 a month combined everything. And if you look at it from a business standpoint, those 2 machines that are in there right now, $600, they're cheaper ones. Dollar changer, bought it for $300, put $500 into it to fix it, $800. And then now this coin pusher is $1,000. It's not going to make me that back. It'll take a year and a half return to get that back. But this business owner, it's so nice and it's boosting his business. He's getting so many good compliments. And I put my name on, I put my brand on the back glass. So it's more of a marketing thing now. People love it there. And it just feels good to be the reason that he's getting a lot of
You find that sometimes, like, as you say, like, it's, to be honest, most of my favorite people aren't in my best locations, but I enjoy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I enjoy talking with them on a weekly basis and going in and, you know, I've seen people whose kids have been born and they've been growing up over the past year. And I'm like, oh, I feel like I'm part of the community. For the first time, it's a very difficult thing to feel in London as part of a community because it's so huge. And suddenly I'm like, oh, I actually feel like I'm an East Londoner now, even though I'm, you know, Scottish born and bred. But there are some times where you're like, this isn't my best location, but I'm happy my machine's here. However long that is, I'm not in a rush to move it right now because at least it's in safe, you know, safe hands until you know, you suddenly need to, you do have a shopping mall or you do have an arcade and it needs to be moved on. But for the time being, sometimes I would argue in this business, a lot of the best parts of it are the people as well as the money.
And sometimes the worst parts of it are the people.
Oh my God, yeah. When the people are good, they're awesome. And when they're bad, you're just like, just calm down. I've not insulted you or the whole family. I'm just here to restock a machine. And that tends to be, I know, even if I get a yes, you can, I can tell when it's not going to work out, because that person really isn't paying attention to who I am, what my business is, and what it's going to do for their business. They've just kind of went, yeah, just put it over there. If I don't have a working relationship with that person, if I don't have some kind of back and forth with them, I can guarantee that that machine's not going to last very long there. Because they'll just get equally as bored and be like, yeah, get rid of it. And yeah, it's normally a good sign. If I get along well with the people, then that machine's normally there to stay, because they're invested in you then.
So a question that I also asked Tinker's Toy and Hobby, are you full-time in the business or are you part-time? I know Tinker's Toy and Hobby, when they answered, they've been cutting back on their hours. They used to both be full-time, and now I think in the interview they said one of them was 3 days a week and one of them was 4 days a week. Yeah, they used to both be six.
Yeah, it's technically I'm part-time, not even. Okay. You know, if I really wanted to just be happy with how much they're bringing in now, because I'm not driving, like we were talking before, I'm not driving 45 minutes away, you know, for each machine. So I have quite a close route, you know, a close route around me where all my machines are. So I can do all 18 and banking in like 6 hours if I wanted to.
One day a month.
Yeah, like, you know, and I go weekly, when most machines I could go every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, and there would be enough toys and enough, you know, capacity. Because my machines on average, I would say, you know, I've got some, my top earner is like, it varies between like $150 a week, and at peak it's probably like $250 it's made in per week, you know.
Wow.
And yeah, and if all my machines were like that, times that by 18, you'd be like, I'm never doing anything else with my life again. But
yeah, that's almost a full-time income if you're at that point. I think that would be.
18 times, you know, 18 times 250 a peak would be amazing. 18 times 150 a week, I'd still be, you know, more than happy. But most of my machines kind of earn roughly about, I keep trying to do the conversion, but maybe about $40 to $50 a week.
Yeah, and that's not bad at all. I mean, that's a lot better than what I have.
No, that's, but you know, we all need goals, and my goal is to get the top earning location. So yeah. I'm doing the same amount of work, because I struggle not to do stuff with the, you know, whether it's buying toys, or right now I am constantly on a hunt for new locations, and I'm putting in the grunt work to make sure that I've got this weird invisible 2-year plan in my head, and I've gone past year one, and year two is to get established in the best possible locations. And so this year is like, all right, always be looking, always be doing something per day to make sure that you're one step closer to one of those locations. So technically it's 6 hours a week, but with YouTube as well, and making shorts and making long form videos, it's every day. Because if I've got free time, that's what I want to be doing. Like, I've still got an excitement and a vested interest in kind of like bettering it, because I'm still learning. And as long as I can keep learning, then there's another video to watch, or there's another question to ask on the Discord, or there's another person in corporate to email just in case I can get my foot in the door there.
Yeah. And the way Tinker's Toy and Hobby put it is that they almost have another income, it feels like. And that's kind of what I refer to. I mean, obviously vending, even the top vending businesses, they're not putting in 40 hours a week unless they're running a, you know, 100 location business.
Well, yeah, you look at extreme vending and you're like, how many machines do you have? And it's just you and your brother and your wife. That is, even with three of you, how are you doing that? That's insane. Well,
I think with him, even at that many machines, he's still only probably putting in, you know, 20 hours a week on the vending side of things.
Yeah.
You know, Discord and affiliates and YouTube is a whole nother monster to tackle there.
Yeah. he's an impressive man.
But would you say that this is bringing in, it feels like there's another income or another person helping you out?
So, you know, we were talking earlier on about like other YouTube channels and stuff we've done. And I like bike packing, you know, I'll strap a tent to the back of my bike and I'll just go into, you know, wild camping and stuff like that. And to be honest, I also enjoy filmmaking and YouTube, depending on what kind of channel you've got, YouTube is, you edit differently and you make different films for different channels. So I kind of like enjoy the filmmaking aspect of it. And I would like that to be, because I'm learning every week, like how to make a YouTube video for vending, for like the vlog style that I'm doing, in the same way that I do. I've got a much smaller channel, which is me bike packing, and every once in a while I make a video, but they're very gentle and very kind of like, hey, I'm in the wilderness kind of thing. But ultimately my goal would be to have this is the business side of stuff, and to fill up the rest to do with the business, but creatively, you know, making YouTube channels, making content, YouTube videos and making content, because that's where my skill set lies anyway, you know, editing and voiceover and all that kind of stuff. So that would be a perfect combination, to get to earn money from the business and that be able to fund being a filmmaker, you know, a YouTuber.
Yeah, and you pretty much just answered my next question, which is...
Oh, sorry.
what would you do in your free time that's not business-related?
Well, that answers a lot of it. Bike packing.
Yeah.
Bike packing, filmmaking, in various forms. You probably can see behind me, this is a fishing rod. I've got to a certain age, Nathan, and I had no interest in fishing apart from when I was a kid. And then suddenly me and my best mate, Tom... I covered it briefly in one of my videos. There he is selling himself again. I live right by a London canal, and there's something, time just goes like that when you're fishing. I never catch fish, like ever, but it's an excuse to meet up with a friend and chat, and there's something really therapeutic about it. It's just relaxing.
So, exactly.
Yeah, my free time is doing stuff for YouTube, like channels, like learning something new, learning how to do a voice effect if I'm making a new short, but it's bike packing, fishing, and climbing. There's a climbing wall just down the road from me that I'm a member of, and bouldering, I think it's called, maybe somewhere else. But that's me in a nutshell, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you already pretty much answered that. But yeah, I mean, fishing, I've never been one to be into it that much. My parents have a boat, and I've been out on it a couple of times. But
nice. in 20 years' time, you'll be like, from nowhere, you just one day you wake up and be like, I want to fish today. I don't know.
Well, I know exactly where you're coming from, though. I love hunting season. It's only 2 weeks, but
it's still weird, man. Like, hunting is, I'm sure it does exist in the UK, but it's so prevalent in America. Like, it to a point where it seems alien, I think, to British people, because, you know, there's the very posh elite who go grouse hunting and, you know, like, or fox hunting back in the day. But other than that, that kind of like just normal owning a gun to go out hunting with, just it's really alien being in the UK and seeing people just do that on a daily, you know, it's just part of American society. Whereas fishing just seems very British. You know, like, well,
it's very similar to fishing. It's you said I don't go out with anyone usually, but when I go out, it's so calming. I wake up at 6 a.m. The sun hasn't come up yet. I'm the first one up, make some hot coffee, put it in a nice mug that'll stay warm, go out there. I bundle up in 8 layers because it's -6 degrees.
Yeah.
And I get up in the stand and I sit for a couple hours just listening to whatever the sounds of the nature.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll listen to a podcast every once in a while. And
yeah, there's slightly less than that in the wild camping. That's why I love it, because it's just me in the middle of nowhere. You know, no one knows you're there. The fishing in London less so, because there's just, wherever you are, there's just hundreds of people like cycling past you. There's no quiet space really in London. Even the big open spaces are rammed full of people.
Yeah, and I mean, if I'm being honest, the main part of hunting that I love is just sitting there up in a tree stand, 20 feet in the air, quiet, everything. When it comes to shooting a deer, that's not the fun part. I mean, the 308 I have, it's like I'm deaf for 10 minutes after I shoot it. And then,
you've already got that bug of, you realize that solidarity is actually a really precious commodity. You're like, I just want to be alone by myself for a while, like with no one bothering me. So fishing might be for you. That's good.
I've never been fishing alone. I think if I went fishing alone, I'd do that a lot better. With hunting, it's like I'd probably get annoyed if I was up in a tree stand with someone.
You'd have to talk because you couldn't just be next to each other. Where
and you have to be quiet to see the deer. So yeah. But I've been fishing on boat. Usually I go with four people and the boat's small, so.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's definitely both my best friend Tom, who's in the video, both of us kind of about a year ago just decided to give up drink, like not even through a conversation, but we just both happened to get to an age where we're like, do you know what? Booze doesn't sit well with me anymore.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And the hangovers aren't worth it. Like there's no amount of alcohol or fun that you can have where the hangover is worth it. And it was just a coincidence that we both decided quite at this almost the same time just to be like, do you know what? I'm done with alcohol. So we've just naturally started to try and find things, because if you're not going to go and sit in a pub or go to a bar anymore, like what do you do with your time? And as such, really, you know, things have opened up because of it, like rock climbing and like fishing. And it's I'm doing more hobbies, because my go-to is like, you know, I'm just off to the pub. I'm gonna go and have a drink.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what do I do with my time?
Well, yeah, I've gotten to that point too. I've only been able to do it recently, but one of my biggest pastimes now is going to a casino and, you know, playing blackjack. And Texas Hold'em is a big one. I mean, as much as it sounds like, oh, you're a gambler, it's like usually 90% of the time it's me playing, you know, Texas Hold'em poker.
Yeah.
It's more skill than it is.
Love Texas Hold'em.
It's so much fun. But then, you know, me and my friend, we'll play slots every once in a while. It's still a fun pastime. And people view it as like, you're gambling. Like I just said, oh, you're a gambler. It's like, I mean, it's the same as I lose maybe $100 if I go to a casino. I'd spend $100 if I was going to go skiing up on a mountain. Yeah. I mean, it's still spending money.
You go out
money.
To a bar, $100 is gone like that.
Yeah.
You know, in a night, you're just like, how much did I spend? And I can't remember any of it. Rather, you know, if you can have fun with the same amount of money, then it's definitely worth it.
Exactly. A little bit back to more the vending side of things.
Oh, yeah, claw machines. Yeah.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I mean, one of the main themes of this episode here is like, you're from the UK. Most of the viewers probably watching are from America. And probably in a city. I know Tinker's Toy and Hobby has to drive everywhere, and the you know, Quick Play has to drive everywhere. What is the main, when you watch these people, what is one of the biggest differences, pros and cons, like to biking everywhere, walking?
I think it comes down to, again, you know, there's more people in London than the whole of Scotland. Do you know what I mean? Like, I come from a country where there's like a million, roughly about a million people less. There's, depending
on
how you
explain that in bald eagle terms.
In bald eagle, I don't know what that means. What's bald eagle? Like,
what would be a city in America equivalent to London, just for American viewers?
How many are? I think there might be. It might be akin to. I'm going to Google this, but I think New York. Excuse me, while I type. New York population. Ah, roughly, yeah. And then, so New York's got 8.4.
So main million. City of New York is kind of what you're in.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
literally almost 8.98 for London and 8.92 for New York.
Okay. So, yeah, main so city,
that,
New York.
And Scotland's got like 7.5, something like that. 7, not even.
Yeah.
So it's so densely packed. So I've got 17, but when all, this is out on location, 18 machines, all within like a 3-mile, you know, less than 5-kilometer radius.
That's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, but and if you think how many times I've been turned down, you know, for every one machine I've got in a location, I've been turned down by 20, 30, 40 locations in between that and the next one. But on the plus side, what that means is there's so many people that I've got one at one end of the street and one, you know, round the corner, but the same clientele aren't going to be going to the same place because it's not the same kind of shop. And weirdly, if I'm in Shoreditch, I'll spend my time in Shoreditch. Just down the road where I live is Bethnal Green, but it's not the same clientele because you've got young hipsters in Shoreditch and you've just got your local East End London guy in Bethnal Green. So there's not much of an overlap. And I try to put them in different locations so that different kind of people are going to be playing them. But having a bike is faster. Like, it's just, don't drive. I've never driven. I don't have a license. I had a bike license when I was younger, but I don't have a bike anymore, you know, a motorcycle. But having a bike is faster. It's cheaper. It gets me some good exercise, and it's in summertime, it's fantastic. In wintertime, you have to gear yourself up to go outside, but it just would take so much longer if I had a car, and because there's just nowhere to park in London either.
No, I totally agree with you. That, I mean, it's just still mind-blowing. Like, to me, it's like, okay, how much can we make? What's the gas mileage it'll take to get there? Like, you know, we're building up. There's a highway that runs through, you know, there's two massive cities on each side of it, one capital of Wisconsin, Madison, and then the other is Fond du Lac. And then we drive that highway in between the two cities, and there's three smaller towns that are about 15,000 people each, and then the main cities are about 500,000. We're trying to build that up, and then the highway, you know, it's an hour to drive from Madison to Fond du Lac. We're building a route from that to that, and then we have to equate, like, we're going to be bringing in $500 today. And then we're going to be spending $30 on gas and putting this much mileage on the car, writing it off on taxes.
Insurance,
you don't have to do any of that.
And I was saying to you before we kind of start recording, parking spaces in London go for like £120,000, which is, you know, that's just so you can park your car. And I'm like, I don't need that. I don't. If I ever leave London, I've been here for 20 years now, but if I ever leave London, I may learn how to drive. But ultimately, cycling in London is faster and worse. If I ever expand further, you know, into more central London, if I don't want to cycle, which I can't ever see expanding that far, you've got the London Underground and, you know, buses and tubes if I really want to. But on the flip side, though, on the kind of like the negative side of folks who live in smaller cities who have more expansive, America is very different than the UK when it comes to family restaurants and kind of more family orientated places. We tend to have them on the outskirts of cities, you know, next to shopping malls and next to like cinema complexes and stuff, but they're not locally run family restaurants. They're owned by massive corporations, so trying to get a machine in them is difficult anyway. But in London especially, I don't have access to those same kind of, where all the family goes to eat, you know, Mexican restaurants or things like that. There's lots of takeaways and lots of, you know, Uber delivery drivers or, you know, Just Eat delivery drivers go and pick it up. But there's no actual real people who go into them anymore. Everyone's ordering online. And so I kind of am very envious of those restaurants that you can place multiple machines in, because they don't really exist. Definitely not in East London, but they're very few and far between in London at all. So that is a negative about the kind of like the size of London. For as many locations as there are, there's not the same kind of variety, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, some of the locations, I mean, you have like, it's like higher volume almost. It's the cities I'm in. It's like, I live in a city with 2,000 people. I can't place any machines here. In London, you know, you can go wherever. There's so many people. There's so much money circulating around. It's just, you can place it wherever you want.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to, if London weren't the size it were, I wouldn't be able to have the luxury of that small route, because I do. I have, between here and the end, the road I live on, or the road that my road leads onto, is about 3 miles long or 2 miles long, which is unusual for London to all be the same road. But between here and about between here and the next tube station, Bethnal Green, it's about an 8 minute walk, and I have 3 different shops between here and you know, half a mile away, because it weirdly covers 2 different areas. Again, like, there's these invisible lines of where one kind of person is, mm-hmm. one kind of like with a different income bracket or a different kind of lifestyle, and then you go half a mile down the road again, and it's young people who are like hipsters and they want like kitsch stuff in the machines, and then half a mile up the road it's a kids play area, or I've got one in like a 24-hour boo shop, which is a completely different clientele.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But he's one of my best earners, because people are just, you know, they're bored at 2 a.m. and they'll play your machine. but I'm very lucky that it's so densely packed, because it means if it's located properly, if it's near the front of the shop, new people are always going to be passing going, ah, what's that? They've got a claw machine. All right, I'll go in, you know. And that's a bonus for the shop owners as well. That's when I know a machine's going to stay for a while, because they're happy, because it's bringing in new customers. You know, that's when they get it. They're like, oh, I see. It's not really about how much. That 25% of the profit is never going to make them rich. You know, it's never going to pay for their holiday. Mm-hmm. But if it's bringing in new customers who then keep coming back, then that's something of worth to location owners.
It's just crazy to me. I was watching one of your videos, and the main strip you were going down, like, you had a couple of stores. Mm. The stores were open, like, you know, open doors. You could walk in from the street, kind of. That's just mind-boggling.
That was the 24-hour boo shop, Buzzland. That's just down the road from me. Yeah,
it reminded me of a mall almost. You could just walk in, the mini claws right there.
I was so skeptical about that. I was like, do I want drunk people are going to be coming in at 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. and they're just going to, you know, wreck my machine. And the guys, the brothers who own that place, are so nice, and they're one of my favorite people to go and chat with, and really supportive, and always asking, you know, like, how's the business going? But that being right on the doorway, sometimes I go in, and when it's been rainy and muddy, you're just like, oh, it's covered in mud because it's just coming with the wind. But it's actually turned out to be a huge benefit, because it's right there. It's a glass front. They don't have to open a door. They literally just step in and they're playing it. And I think, you know, I'm always slightly worried whether a machine's going to do well or how safe a machine is in London. And that turned out to be a massive plus, because there's literally no barrier for someone off the street to play that machine. It's such an instant, oh, I've seen a claw machine, or I want that Mario keychain, I'm going to play for it. Mm-hmm. And that's turned out really well. I was being too worrisome about that one place, and I'm glad it's turned out for the best.
Is that just like one main strip, and do you have multiple locations on that?
Yeah, literally across the road from it, just probably about 100 feet down on the other side of the road, I've got in a Indian sweet shop, which doesn't do as well, but is getting better. And he's the guy who owns it's really lovely. I've been very lucky with having a lot of very lovely people, for location owners. But yeah, and then literally just not even like a quarter of a mile down the road, I've got another 3 machines within that. It's all very compact, but all of my locations are very, very different. Or if they're similar, they're far enough apart that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just
it's
wild.
A very different business here, man. It's definitely, London is a unique place, what can I say?
It just reminds me of a mall so much. I mean, we're gonna have a machine out in the middle. Is that like a shopping destination, like, or is it just a bunch of separate businesses that are set up like that?
Businesses, because it's like, you know, everyone. Because you know, I can imagine doing it in New York, it might be very similar, because you know, there's a similar-ish compact layout. Obviously, it's more grid-like in New York, but you know, the if you get home from work, you're like, oh, I don't have milk, so you go down to the local mini mart.
Yeah,
that local mini mart for you is not going to be the same one that someone half a street away, you know, 2 minutes down the road, they're going to go to the other local mini mart because that's the nearest one to them. And there's so many people that those people don't cross over. It's the local community who go to that one, and then down the road they go to that one, and it offers a great opportunity. However, it's finding the ones that also offer a great amount of profit, amount of people who want to play, you know? Yeah, and that's the fine balance, is getting the best of both worlds, I suppose.
When it comes to these, you know, claw machines and all these people in the business, usually there's a motive, like, to have these machines. Usually it's because it's low barrier to entry to get into these machines.
Yeah.
I know Tinker's Toy and Hobby, that was the reasoning. They got into bulk candy machines because it was a couple $100 a start and they already had places ready to go. Then they took the next step up, went to Mini Claw. Are you someone that's trying to work your way up and, you know, maybe own an actual business one day, like a bar or a restaurant? Oh, or
actual business. This isn't a, no, I'm joking.
Well, yeah, I mean, like a physical...
No, not in the slightest. No, that may change, you know. That may change, but no. And it's not like, I get a little defensive when, you know, I see in the extreme Discord where people are like, oh, you've got a Mini Claw. No, you need to get up to, you know, why have you ordered so many of those? You need to get Mega Minis and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, for you guys, that's makes sense, but you can't paint everyone with the same brush. I can't use the, you know, the prize locker. So it's pointless to me. I'm by myself and they don't have wheels and they're heavier. So it's not, you know, and most locations I have don't need me to change, don't need four times the amount of, you know, of storage or of like playing area. It's a bonus, but it's not the be all and end all. And I love the Mini Claws. I genuinely really, I think they're cute, and London space is a premium. So even with some places, you're like, they're like, we have no space. And you see it. They've utilized every square inch of floor space in their shop because they have to, because it costs so much to rent it. So when you say it's only 30 centimeters, you know, sometimes they just don't have 30 centimeters. I've digressed a little bit there. But basically, I'm happy with like, maybe slowly building more and more of these machines, but ultimately I just want it to be an income. Do you know what I mean? Like, and one of the reasons I started a YouTube channel is because ultimately you're just, it's nice to talk to people when you go to a location, but ultimately you're cleaning a machine, you're taking up the money, you're stocking it with toys. And I found the creative side of it a lot more enjoyable than I hadn't even thought about it, about YouTube or about the toy hunting or about the interacting before I bought the machines. I just like, oh, what's a good side business that will generate income? And so I'm happy where I am in the sense of, I don't want to own an arcade. I don't want to build a giant vending business. I'm happy earning money while I get to do something creative at the same time. And obviously the more money I earn, fantastic, but
yeah,
there's no long-term goal, you know, there's no like, oh, I'm aiming to be the biggest vendor in London, or I'm aiming to own a restaurant that has arcade machines, or, you know, that was a long winded answer, but I,
well, you're good.
Too late. That's why I say.
So you're good with having these locate just the, or not just, but like you're good with growing this business with these Mini Claws. So would you ever be looking to expand into doing more? I know around me, there's bowling alleys that are filled with $100,000 worth of equipment. Obviously, you can do that at a smaller scale. Are you content with just minis, or are you going to be
I look at the mini ramping up and stuff, you know, the mini string cutters, should I say, magic cuts.
So and maybe like mini arcades.
Yeah, like I don't, you know, Extreme and Megan was talking about getting one as well, but I like the idea of that, but it's not really much of a diversion from what I'm doing, like, which is that I think, yeah, I enjoy the hands-on aspect of the business. I enjoy that it's me who's building it, and currently there's no plan to move outside of that, be it a different kind of machine. if it, as long as I can move it myself and it's accessible to, you know, tiny London locations, that it's the whole package that I'm enjoying, I think is what I was trying to say, which is like, I enjoy the creative side of it. I enjoy the YouTube side of it. I enjoy the interactions with people and knowing that I'm the one who's responsible for these small changes. But the idea of owning a larger business, you know, I can't, I don't have a lofty goal like that. I don't have a set, like, you know, I'd love to own a retro arcade, I suppose, but I think the reality of that would be, oh, I'd be stuck in an arcade all the time telling kids to stop shaking the machines and, you know. So, no, I think it's the working for myself part that I enjoy.
Oh, okay.
And however my business expands, I think it will just be a natural thing, but there's no end goal in sight other than just trying to enjoy it as much as I can, because that's always been my main goal in life, is like, do I want to be here? Do I want to be doing this? Well, if not, why? I'm in charge, so why would I stay any longer, you know?
Well, and that's such a beautiful mindset to have of I love what I'm doing already. I'm going to stick doing it. There are so many people, I mean, including myself, where it's like, I'm hardly started. There's so much to do. And but then, I mean, it's just great. Have you seen, not off topic, but have you seen Extreme's new mall spot? He has 4 gamer minis and then he has a corner of like,
I did, like, yeah, 5 machines. I saw a photo of it, I think I saw a photo of it. It looks so pretty. Like, it's, you just, it looks like all the minis together. You're just like, that is a good looking setup you've got right there.
He has the 4 gamer minis and then he has like that's in a mall. And then in the same mall, he has Magic Cut from Candy Machines, 5 of your kind of mini, with the full machines with prize lockers. Obviously, you can't do that. And then also from Lee Fun, he has like a multicade, like arcade game. It's like, I think 6 machines there and then the 4 minis. I would that be like something like the top you'd do?
I'd happily do that. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Like, it's not, I suppose it's like, I suppose I interpreted your question as kind of like, you know, is the end goal to own?
You know,
like whatever. But no, ultimately it's just like, how do I build this business so that it fits with my lifestyle, which you know, my own free time is honestly the most precious thing to me. I was having this discussion as I fished with my friend yesterday, which is like, you know, having the choice of how I spend my time. Like, even if I'm like, oh, I need to go to locations today and I need to restock that, or I need to kind of like follow up with that business, it's not all the most fun in the world, but it's all the fact that I get to decide when that happens and you know, so I will build the business and locations to the best possible. That's my goal. I think the lofty goal is just to get the best out of every location. So the amount of effort I put into is reaping the most rewards, and having a location like that where you've got multiple machines all just earning money for you, that would be amazing. Money while you sleep. That's the best kind of money.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, it's been about an hour and a half. I guess I have rambled on
so much.
No, it's been awesome.
Questions. You just kind of like, your brain goes off on one.
Yeah, exactly. If for those watching, we have a game plan of maybe 10 questions that I wrote up in a half hour. This has not been scripted at all.
No. As if you couldn't tell, this has not been scripted at all. It's like, he's still talking and he's not answering any of the questions he's being asked. Damn straight. I'll say what I want.
Well, wrapping it up here, we've already mentioned it a few times, but where are the specific places where people should go to find you and see your content?
Folks, just everyone go to my YouTube channel. Ultimately, everything that I make gets funneled there anyway, and that's my main. It's got my long form, it's got my shorts, it's got my YouTube lives, and that is Mini Claws London. Mini Claw London? Mini Claws London. Glitter Bear Mini Claws, basically.
Yeah, Glitter Bear Mini Claws, and then at Mini Claw London, right?
Yeah, at Mini Claw London. I should know this myself, but but yeah, I love doing the lives, the long form videos. I'm enjoying more and more editing together, and the shorts are just silly nonsense, but they're fun as well. So come and take a look.
And for the people watching this podcast, for the vendors watching this podcast, if you're someone like Saul here that wants to kind of share their story, make sure to comment down below and we can get in touch. But for the normal people watching that aren't insane doing this kind of stuff with us, make sure to leave a like and subscribe if you enjoy this content. And if you're on Spotify or whatever, leave a review. I think that's how that works.
Do it. Honestly, like, biggest bugbear. If you've watched the content and you've enjoyed the content, Nathan has put so much work into this channel, and then you don't like it, and you just click on another video. Shame on you. Shame on you. Like and subscribe to this man's channel. He's a talented boy.
All right, well, with that, let's say goodbye to all the viewers.
Nathan, thanks so much for having me.
See you guys.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.